Hey guys, welcome back to Breaking It Down with Brandy,
Camille,
and Katie.
Woo! Yeah. Today's guest is someone we've been waiting to talk to for some time now. Having done over 3,500 commercials in his career, he's worked with everyone. He's lent his hands on approach in a variety of commercials, voiceovers, as well as other 60 featured films and television projects. Starring the likes of Antonio Banderas, Lucy Liu, Val Kilmer, Sherry Shepherd, Treat Williams, Tim Curry, Academy Award nominees John Cleese and Melanie Griffith, and Academy Award winner Faye Dunaway and Monique. We are so excited to introduce you to Jeff Gerard.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being here, Jeff.
Boy, that sounds a lot better than I ever thought.
Jeff, why don't you share with us, if you don't mind, what was your journey to becoming a casting director? How did that all come into place for you?
All by accident. I was an actor for 15 years. I loved every second of it. And I used to have tons of part-time jobs, as most actors do. So I would be delivering sandwiches very early in the morning. I'd run to another job. And these jobs were always giving me the leisure to get out on interviews and do whatever I needed to do during the day. So that was always great. So this casting office I used to deliver sandwiches to, as a matter of fact, used to bring me in a lot as an actor. And I was directing a couple of shows in town, and they came to see them and they said, "Hey, we need some help in the office. Maybe you can help us. You did dynamite work with these people." So I said, "Oh, I'm not a casting director, I'm an actor."
Right.
And he said, "Schmuck, you're an actor, so play a casting director." So, and that's how it all started. Gave me an office on Sunset Boulevard with a window and an expense account.
Nice.
And I said, "Well, this could be pretty nice." Yeah.
No, too shabby.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Here we are, 35 years later.
30 years later.
As a casting director, what is the first thing that you look at on an actor's resume?
Theater training. For the most part, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in Hollywood, so yes, I do look for the television credits, the film credits, and stuff like that. But I do want to know where they've studied, what their background is. A lot of people come in, even on commercials, they don't realize that you do have to know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think they could just talk a little louder and make their eyes brighter and smile, and they can book a few commercials. And that might work a few times, but after that, you know, where's the essence of who you are that you're bringing to the work? And that's what I always like to see.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. As an actor, that's what I loved, working with fellow actors who brought that to their work. You
sure.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sure.
So what makes a great audition?
What makes a great audition? Mm-hmm. I think somebody that comes in and just kind of puts their own stamp on it. You know, a lot of times you won't be able to get the full script if we're doing a pilot or we're doing a secret project or even a secret campaign for a commercial, but it's a spokesperson copy. You know, so we're very limited in what we're allowed to give out sometimes. So I like to say, we're going to paint a picture and I'm going to give you these tools and I want you to come in and show me what painting you've drawn.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
You know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's the way I like to look at it because I think every actor that comes in has their own unique kind of stamp on what they do or what they should do. And that's what I like. You know, you sit out in the lobby sometimes and you see all these blondes and you're the only brunette and you start psyching yourself out or you're the only Caucasian person and everyone else is African American or Asian and you're thinking, am I here for the right spot?
Right,
and so, as a casting director, you never want to make it a cookie cutter situation.
Mm-hmm.
You want to bring some change to it and something unique and different. And we've been very lucky in our career since we started in commercials that we've been able in all our projects to change things from men to women, women to men.
Mm-hmm.
Ethnicities were changed. One of my big things around 15 years ago, I was doing a movie and it was a governor and the director said, "Well, I see this person's next on the list, but we're not casting any women today. What is that for?" I said, "She's here for the governor." And he looked at me like, "What?" And she came in and she left and he looked at me and he started laughing. He says, "Booker, she was great."
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's
awesome.
I love that. Good for you.
So when you're like experienced, when it's like a bigger project and so how does that work? So they'll give you scripts and it won't be from the actual movie or
oh no it will be I'll always get to read the actual script And for the most part, the films we do a lot of films for Universal and Sony that are either sequels or right. they take the brand that was started maybe 10 or 15 years ago mm-hmm. and nothing's been done with it, and they reinvent it in some way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we've done like Jarhead 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
We've done Company of Heroes. You know, so a lot of sequels or something that will put a different spin on the title.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so they have a brand already and they just want to move with it, maybe move forward with it. So we've been pretty lucky. I think there was only one project recently where we didn't give out the script. But other than that, I make sure the actors get the script mm-hmm. and not just a day ahead of time. Usually my appointments go out at least 2 days ahead of time
nice.
When I'm doing
That's
a
nice.
Film.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'd still be surprised how many people cancel the last second, or I have to turn people away because I said, well, what did you think of this? Oh, I didn't read the script. And I say, well, don't bother auditioning for me right now because I don't
know.
Right. You're not going to know what's going on here, and I don't want to give you my interpretation of what's going on. That's mm-hmm. why you're an actor. That's why you're bringing
yes.
your view to what you've read. You know, I want your imagination to take over.
Right.
And that's what it is. We all are playing pretend.
Right.
So it's,
right.
you know, just let your mind go.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. What are the most common mistakes you see in self-tapes?
I don't know if they're, well, I guess there are mistakes, but, you know, mistakes are learning curves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's the best part about, like, people will leave here and they might beat themselves up in the car and hit the steering wheel. You know, when you're
Everybody
driving in
it.
Town and everyone's
yeah.
hitting their steering wheel,
yeah.
you know what profession they're in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We know they're actors.
Yeah.
You know, and I was an actor. I still consider myself an actor, although I haven't done it in 35 plus years. I get to act every day because when you're reading with actors, mm-hmm. you're acting. So I get a joy out of that, you know. But I say the biggest mistakes, bad sound, bad lighting, bad reader
mm-hmm.
with you. That can just tank your audition.
Really?
So can you explain
yes.
what exactly a bad reader is for people that might not understand?
I love you. You know I do. Why do you feel
I guess I
don't like
I was like, I feel like people are going to understand if you've ever even just been in an audition room and all of a sudden that
yeah.
happens and
yeah.
you're like, well, we got to figure out how to turn
well, look,
this around.
Well, look, how many auditions
yeah.
have you been
yeah.
in that the casting director is a terrible
yeah.
leader?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or...
Yeah. I got to tell my husband to take some acting classes.
Yeah, right.
Or the readers just... Or the reader just goes by, you know, by the numbers.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
They're not watching the actor. That's why a lot of times I like to do the reads myself because I love to watch the actor. I like to see what he's giving me or she's giving me. And
right.
and it, especially if it's a comedy, the timing that has to go into it. And sometimes before we put it on tape, I might say, hey, you want to run it once just so we get the rhythm down so that you're comfortable with it. And I know what kind of rhythm you're going to throw at it and where you need some air and where you don't need any air. Especially if you're being put on tape for producers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think that's pretty important that you get that done first,
right.
You know, and we kind of set up our days very tight just due to fallout that happens naturally
yeah.
with actors and jobs and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So sometimes we might get a little behind, but I prefer that the actor, when he's in the room, is so comfortable that, like, we've been very blessed to people walk out and they say, oh my God. You guys are so cool in here. It's so easy. It's so relaxed. I was an actor for 15 plus years, so
yeah.
I know what it's like to go in a room and you get nothing from a human being, you know? And I think that's just due to certain people when you're on a time schedule and you're trying to get something down or you're trying to discover someone or something new or
right.
exciting. So
that's really generous of your office. Not all offices are like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm finding a lot of people are like it, and the it's kind of, well, I hope it's far and few in between that it's the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it's not called show art. And I'm going to steal this from a brilliant casting director called Lynn Stallmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in an article I read when I was a struggling actor, look, people, it's not called show art. It's called show business mm-hmm. for a reason. It is a business.
That's right.
If, and I added my own 2 cents. Look, if you want to do the art of acting, then move to Seattle, move to Milwaukee, mm-hmm. move to anyone that does rep theater, Chicago,
right.
you know, and go and live and survive on $400 to $500 a week doing rep theater. Right. And that's the love of the art.
Right.
But if you're here to make money, as everybody is in this town, from actors to managers to agents to casting people, yeah, right, to everyone, that's why we're here. We're here to make the almighty dollar. And that's not in a bad way. That's in a good way also. But you also want to bring the art of the business into that word business and make it kind of show arty business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Okay. I hope my parents are listening to that. Thank you.
I can call them.
So, thank you. I'll have one on the line. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We talked about, you know, going into the audition room and then having potentially, like, if the reader's doing something, mm-hmm, where it might kind of throw you off. But for actors, what are those mistakes that the actors might be making that you see maybe more often than not when they come into the audition room?
I find a lot of times actors, even the seasoned actors, sometimes they just cut themselves. You'll probably find it a lot more in commercials than you do on theatrical jobs, but still it's like the dialogue is over and they kind of like either look at you like, okay, what's next? Or they look, and it's about life.
Mm-hmm.
And life continues before you walked in the room. It's going to continue after you leave the room. That's why when people say to me, oh, I suck at improv, I'm really bad. Well, are you breathing right now? Yes. Are you going to go out and do your dry cleaning and you're going to go to the grocery store and you're going to interact with people all day? That's improv.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying improv to be funny and witty.
Right.
Sure, you can take classes and to do that if that's what you want to do. But I think improv classes are great also just to give you a basis of who you are, mm-hmm, as the core of a human being. So that you always take a project and you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. What's my intention or objective? You know, everybody has different terminology they like to use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the conflict here? What's the relationship? So it's all about that acting 101 that sometimes our nerves take over in the room.
Right.
And we forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I'd say.
I was watching Close Up with the Hollywood Reporter. And that particular roundtable was the Academy Award nominees, women, best actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember which one of the women said this, but she said, the interviewer asked, what was the best advice you were ever given as an actress? And she said, never cut. The director is the only person that is allowed, mm-hmm, to say cut. So you keep acting, mm-hmm, until you hear cut.
Yeah.
And that holds true, mm-hmm, just what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You should keep acting until the casting director says,
just continue to breathe,
thank you
moment.
Very much. Or,
yeah.
Right.
So I love that because
You, everybody likes to work differently. Like, mm-hmm, what if you were involved in this emotional scene on a set and the director felt your ending is where the scene should start.
That's what they were saying. Yeah.
And he's going to yell to you, take it from there from the beginning. And you're already cutting yourself and the emotions, mm-hmm, dried up already. They're just trying to help you get to the next section that he wants to see.
Right.
He may not end up using that in the final take, but at least it's something you're giving him an option to use on something like that. And we had a commercial director who would make us just run the camera as they came in the room and shut it off as they auditioned. Because it wasn't anything involved
that's what they did with Audrey Hepburn, right? That was like her big thing with Breakfast at Tiffany's, is that they felt she was so like, you could tell she was super nervous on her audition, so they told her they had cut, and they didn't. And then they filmed like her natural reaction, and that's how she got cast.
Oh, really?
That was like her big thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was very into that, and he was like, yeah, because it's, you know, it's a line here, a line there. Mm-hmm. I can get that out of them. I just want to see who they are as people and what makes them tick and how they walk in a room and present themselves and are they comfortable and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this actress was saying that the directors were saying how some of the magic sometimes happens during that particular time. When the scene is over, but it's still going and you're still waiting for them to yell cut, sometimes that's when the magic happens.
Well, I don't know if it's true in the current version of A Star is Born, but it very much felt like a lot of their scenes together were improvised to some degree. And if they weren't and they were all scripted, they did even a better job than I thought they did,
mm-hmm,
because I thought they were both wonderful together, mm-hmm, separately, whatever. But I felt like a lot of their scenes had that beautiful flow of naturalism that comes with improv sometimes when you get into a scene and you're just bantering back and forth. Mm-hmm. And that's improv. And look, they weren't trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. They were improvising with each other. Sure. So a lot of times people take the wrong interpretation when they hear, oh, we're just going to improvise. And then think, oh, geez, am I supposed to be funny now or whatever? Right. No,
well,
it's not.
Well, so off what you were saying, I also heard a story, and I know a few people that have been cast in commercials. And when the casting director says to improvise, they've gotten the job because they didn't say anything. They allowed their counterpart, who was nervous, to just, like, kind of go over the top and, like, try to be funny. And they just continued to, like, eat the sandwich or, like, drink the drink or, like, be in the car and just kind of, like, lived in the moment. And they were the ones that got cast and they didn't get to have, like, a single word said.
Mm. Right.
Because I think it's because they were actually, like, in the moment and...
Yeah, nerves can take over. You know, sometimes even in theatrical, we'll team read. Mm-hmm. We'll do team reads. We don't do it very often, but like on a script we did last year, it was a kiteboarding film, and there were two characters in the film that just bantered off each other. It was like frickin' frack. Mm-hmm. And I just said, well, look, we could read with them, or it's better if we just team them up. Make sure when they get here, we tell them who their teammate's going to be and give them 10 minutes together and just say, hey, guys, go disappear for 10 minutes and go work together. Come up with something, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't feel it was working, we called the agent. We said, you know what? We'd like to see him again tomorrow. We might just pin him with somebody else.
Right.
But for the most part, I think everybody did not a much better job, but it just... played off each other much nicer than what they would have done if it was just reading to a casting person off camera, you know, especially with timing and stuff like that.
Sure.
So.
That's great.
So, if you could cast anything, past, present, or future, what would it be?
Well, it would have to be something in the future, probably. I don't know. I would love to cast anything with... two name people already attached to it. Because when you get handed a script and you get a call and say, guess what? Jennifer Lawrence is starring in this and, you know, Tom Cruise is her co-star. Yeah. Well, you're going to get every agent in the world to come out of the woodwork to work on that project, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this happened when I was working on a number of projects that... because some of the films I do are direct-to-consumer, which means it's direct-to-DVD, which means you see it at Redbox or you can get it online, or it could be a Netflix premiere. At the same time, it goes to Netflix, Redbox or something like that. So let me tell you, those jobs are extremely hard to cast because a lot of people... especially when we get them during pilot season, they're like, and I say to the producers all the time, why do you have to pick now? Let's push it 4 weeks and you'd be surprised at what we're going to get in 4 weeks from now.
Right.
You know, I also did a project with kids. I did the newest version of The Little Rascals.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I loved that process.
Yeah.
I was like on my hands and knees working with the kids for like 4 weeks before we even presented anyone to the director and producers. And I thought that was a great gig. I loved doing that. I loved working with kids.
What were their age ranges?
And that one, it was anything from 6 to 8 for the most part.
Oh, they're fun.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it was not only trying to match kids up to what everybody had in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
What did Stymie look like? What did Alfalfa look like?
Right.
What was little Darla looking like? You know, you kind of had to match them up to that. But then you had to find great... little 6 to 8 year olds on that one. We had 2 10-year-olds, but they played like bullies and other parts in it. But still, it was like amazing. The talent is so amazing. And you'd get calls from agents and they'd say, well, how'd they do? And I said, they were really great. They did a great job, but they're just not ready for the lead in the film.
Right.
Because don't forget, when you're doing a film that involves only kids, and we were lucky enough to put a couple of the adults in it. We had Doris Roberts in it, as I think it was one of her last things before she passed away. Lex Medlin was in it. We had some really great cameos in it. But for the most part, it's kids interacting with other kids.
Right.
But we forget, those kids, even in the summer, they need to have a certain break. Right. So if they're not in school, they have to get pulled. So now that kid who was working with his best buddy for the last 3 weeks is now working with an adult saying the lines across from him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's got to have the attention span. And once again, it's not called show art. It's called show business.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to find those kids that really are so in tune that can deliver.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes total
sense. Look at that show like Better Things. Which I think that's the name of it, right? It's on Fox or FX with Pamela, is it Alden? I think that's her name. I thought the kids on that were cast brilliantly. Mm-hmm. They're really great. And there's a lot of shows where the kids, like right. The one on ABC with all the kids are all right.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're all that's just all great kids. On that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So kudos to the casting directors on those shows. Right. I mean, they really right. did a great job.
And I always thought Modern Family and its time, like when it first started, yes. like all those yeah. kids were brilliant. Yeah. They were little too when it yeah. started.
Even that cast. Mm-hmm. I mean, like that's by Jeff Greenberg. And right. he puts together great casts on great shows all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Super talented. What types of things do you like to do when you're not casting? Like, what are your hobbies? What do you love?
Well, as my wife says, I don't have a lot of hobbies, so it's really hard to buy for. I like to eat. That's about it. Let's see. Well, we've recently bought a ranch in Paso Robles. Mm-hmm. So we've been blessed to be able to make olive oil mm-hmm. from olive trees we
that's
have.
That's awesome.
Whoa. Yes. So that's what I do with all my spare time. We drive up there. We tend to the trees. We harvest the trees. We have it milled. It happens once a year. That's but so you great. Have to, you know, they're like your kids. You know, you have to take care of them and nurture them. And we've been blessed. We've had the ranch since 2015. And we've sold out our oil every single year.
Awesome. Do you have animals on the ranch?
We don't, only because we don't live there full time.
Gotcha.
But my wife's already put the order in for a donkey.
Uh-huh.
You know, she has the order. A donkey, a horse, and a couple of goats.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Our neighbors have cows, so they just can come into our property good. Anytime. Yes.
Wow. Do you make yes. different flavored olive oils? Or is
we
it
don't.
Just... Okay.
Only because we're not there full time, so right. we really haven't investigated exactly how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've read up on it, but it's a process.
Yeah.
And I think for now, until we can move up there maybe a little bit more full time,
mm-hmm. right.
we're going to stick with just the extra virgin. Although my wife did, we have lemon trees. And so my wife did take the peel of the lemon and mm. she soaked it in the oil for like
nice.
3 weeks. Yeah. And she was able to get a nice soft lemon flavor on it, you know.
Great.
So,
how
yeah.
many jars can you make from like your ranch? How many jars
well,
you
we're
make?
A small ranch. We're 5 acres and
okay.
we only have 75 trees because it's only planted in one section mm-hmm. of the ranch. So we're thinking in the future to put another 300 trees up there. So then it would be like, then we would be able to do bigger time.
More. Sure.
Yeah.
What's
so
the brand?
We do about 250 bottles to when we have a good year, like 2 years ago, it was a bumper crop because of all the rain
yeah.
and the weather changing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is no climate change. Right? yeah. True. Due to all of that, we had like over 500 bottles. So it almost
nice.
Like doubled.
Wow.
Because we usually get between anywhere from 200 to 300 bottles for a little boutique ranch. That's pretty good,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we do the tall bottles. We don't, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of places do the tiny
right.
bottle.
And
we do a
ones.
Nice, long, tall mm-hmm. one. Yeah.
I like it.
So,
that makes
and great. Is that like Girard olive oil? Or
no, it's called Rancho Divine Extra Virgin Olive Oil. And
oh,
we Rancho call it Rancho Divine because my wife thinks it's a divine intervention that we found
aww.
This place.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And where can one buy Rancho Divine?
Oh, just come to any of my studios.
And that's where
yeah,
it is.
We really, we do a lot on Facebook. It's
uh-huh.
under Facebook, Rancho Divine Olive Oil. And,
cool.
And you'll see my beautiful wife. She does some videos there.
Oh, good. Shout out to your wife.
It.
Yay.
Yeah. Desiree. She does
Desiree.
It all.
Desiree. Thank you, yeah. Desiree, for all your hard work on the olive oil.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to the part of the podcast where we're going to give you some rapid-fire questions, okay?
Oh, okay.
And the first one is, what is your biggest pet peeve in casting?
Time. Lack of.
Mm.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For commercials, especially. Mm-hmm. We'd love more prep time. But just due to the economy, mm-hmm. it didn't affect just nobody. It affected everybody down to budgets.
Right.
So instead of getting two prep days for 7 to 12 characters, now you have one prep day. Oh. And guess what? They called you on Wednesday and you need to prep it on Thursday. It needs to be cast on Friday.
Wow.
Callbacks are Monday, you know. But that's what's exciting about the business mm-hmm, also. Mm-hmm. It just never True. Stops. So that's a peeve, but yet I guess a blessing.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You should be so lucky as to have problems, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. true.
I love to work, so.
What is your best advice to actors?
Be Whether yourself.
General. Oh, perfect.
Just be yourself. Come in, put your own stamp on it. Do your homework. Mm-hmm. You know, you are so blessed to live in the time you're living in now. I won't go into what we had to do as actors in the 70s and 80s and 90s before internet.
Yeah.
We used to drive to the studios from wherever you lived and you could not take the script. You had to sit there in the lobby and read the script mm-hmm. or write down the dialogue. Right. Or you had to get there. It was called a cold reading for a reason. Mm-hmm. You got there 10 minutes ahead and you got the script.
Right.
Go work on the script. Make your choices. And that's what I'm saying to people. Make your choices. Mm-hmm. Who are you? It comes down to acting 101. Who are you? Where are you? Who is the relationship to the next person? Where did you come from? Where are you going to? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Conflict, you know, intention, all that stuff.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
I love that.
That's what I'd say. Put your own spin on it because nobody's going to come in the room and do it like you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were gifted something at birth. Mm-hmm. It's a soul. It's your eyes. It's your ears. And you hear things in life differently. You see things differently. And that's the way you've matured mm-hmm. to accept those. So you're going to interpret a script differently than you're going to interpret it. And right. you're going to mm-hmm. interpret it.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I love that. So what is the best way to contact you? Do you accept postcards? Is it
yes.
mail?
Mail's perfect. Email's no good whatsoever.
Okay.
I always say just send the pictures and resumes. I love mm-hmm. those. If I don't know who you are, send a picture and a resume. Mm-hmm. Always follow it up with a postcard. Hey, I just got cast in this or mm-hmm. turn on to, you know, mm-hmm. Modern Family tonight. I've got a cute little scene with so-and-so. It doesn't yeah. have to be anything even big.
Right. Because
mm-hmm. in commercials, we're so blessed. We take chances. Like, I think I was telling you, we Taft Hartley'd Andy Samberg
right.
on his very first job. And we sent him to Japan.
Right.
And then to sing to Earth, Wind, and Fire in the car.
Oh, right.
So oh it was very bizarre. In fact, my kids called me one night and said, hey, Dad, turn on Letterman. Andy Samberg's on, and he's talking about the commercial you cast him in. And I said, oh, cool. So
that's cool.
I taped it, and he was talking about how he was dressed in these bright colors, and he got shipped to Japan, and he had a bop to Earth, Wind, and mm-hmm. Fire in a car all day. And we Taft Hartley'd him. He became a member of Screen Actors Guild. And like 4 weeks later, I see he's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Nice. He's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just yeah. were lucky enough yeah. to be in the right place at the right time to be able to facilitate that Taft
That's
Hartley.
That's cool that you changed his life. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, that must yeah. be
well,
cool. As like a
I don't know if
director.
I changed his life. You I know Saturday Night Live changed yeah. his life, but mm-hmm. he made a little money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was together already, I think, with his buddies from Long Island.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Notice I'm from Long Island, too, so yeah. I say Long Island.
Yeah.
He was together with his buddies from Long Island, and they were doing content already
mm-hmm, right.
before people were even used to what content was.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting what people out there do, and you see yourselves with, what's a podcast? People go, what's a podcast? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. it's like a radio show, but, uh-huh. you know, it's like this, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. That's what I like about life. Everything is always changing.
It's true.
And you never know what's happening from one day to the next.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
In closing, Jeff, is there anything else you'd like to let our listeners know? Are there classes that you teach or any other advice you want to impart or anything
like
at all?
Projects where you're yeah. like, oh, project. Super excited about it, want to yeah. like... You know, post about
check it.
It
out.
If not, then
yeah, no,
worries
we
as well.
Do have we have a project coming up that we're going to start, which I really love. It's called The Tempering, and it's a cop protocol, I'd say,
mm-hmm.
but yet it has some supernatural flavor to it, or is it faith based? Do we really know? I don't know, and I was intrigued reading this script all the way through it. And I was really excited to get it and get the chance to possibly cast it. And so now we're probably going to gear up, and we're going to start with that June or July.
Excellent.
So, yeah,
excited about that. Congratulations, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really fun. Yeah. It sounds like a great project.
And we teach classes a couple of times a year, commercial classes. And we like to limit it to like 10 people in a class because I don't think big classes, you get as much out of it. And I like that one-on-one almost, where people can get up at least four times a night.
Yeah.
And you're not sitting in the back of the class and you get up once, you know. I want everyone up and participating.
Right.
And that's what it's about.
Where can we find out when those classes will be? Where can we get more information on
that? They could just call my office.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great. Well, we want to thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Jeff. This time. Is great.
It's been great. Wonderful information. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jeff Gerard.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
And don't forget to share and subscribe for more great content.